You know, I was thinking as a missionary myself and coming and having the opportunities to preach to you and to visit and give reports. You know, sometimes you may think, this is what I'm thinking in my own mind, you may think at times, well, you know, I'm not the missionary. I'm not going to New Guinea, you know, so maybe some of the things missionaries say seem distant or not applicable to me. And so I thought to myself, maybe this evening would be a good opportunity to take to challenge you in a very practical way, how you as Christians here in your local congregation here in Tottenville and your communities where you work or where you live, to be witnesses for the gospel where God has providentially placed you. And so that's what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. So I have three things I want to address this evening. And first, it's going to be giving you examples from the scripture of bold witnesses. As we look through the scriptures, we see many witnesses for Christ who boldly witnessed for God, starting in the Old Testament and going to the New. So that's first. Secondly, scriptural texts challenging us to be bold gospel witnesses. And then third, I'm going to mention a few reasons why we should be bold gospel witnesses. So let's start with the first one, going through the scriptures to see a few examples. I want to start with Noah. You don't have to turn to all of these references through the examples. You probably know most of these examples already, but I want to start with Noah. You know, throughout the Bible, we have these characters come up, and they are faithful witnesses for God. Okay, going back to the Old Testament, we wouldn't probably say they were preaching the gospel per se, but they were witnesses for God. And I want to start with Noah, okay? But when the time of Noah came, the world had many, many people in it. And they had departed from God. And the Bible describes the people as being evil, wicked, violent, and corrupt. And then this man comes on the scene. His name is Noah. And he finds grace and favor with God. And it says in the New Testament that he was a preacher. And before God condemned the world, Noah was building the ark. For probably many, many years. I mean, he didn't build this little ship. He built this gigantic ark, and it took a long time. And during that time, he was being a faithful witness of God, telling the people, I'm sure, listen, a flood's coming, a destruction's coming, judgment's coming, warning the people, telling the people of the coming judgment of God. So he's one of the examples we see in the Old Testament. Think of Moses and his bold witness before Pharaoh. Okay, again, prior to judgment coming, God sends Moses and Aaron, but Moses is the main figure. And what's he doing? He's giving a witness to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt, almost to the entire known world at that time, that there is a God, that he's stronger than your gods, that he's going to judge you, he's going to save us as people. And what's Moses doing? He's giving a bold witness of God. Think of Elijah, the third example. His bold witness before the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. Now here Elijah, he's not the only guy. He certainly thinks that. You know, he's talking to guys like, listen, it's just me. It wasn't just him. But that day, as he was giving witness to all the people, to all of the Israelites, to all of the leaders, to all of the false prophets, it's just him. And he's giving a bold witness of the true God, telling the people, listen, you're wrong. And there is a true God. Then we get to the New Testament. I want to mention four examples from the New Testament. First, right off the bat, John the Baptist. Okay? A guy, after 400 years of silence, no one has come onto the scene, and God sends John the Baptist, and what's he doing? He's preaching the gospel, he's preaching repentance, and he's a bold witness before all of the authorities and before all the people. And he's giving a bold witness for Christ even before Christ came, telling the people, listen, I'm not the guy, but the Messiah is coming after me. I'm not worthy even to untie his sandals. And what's he doing? Before the public, he's giving a bold witness of the gospel of Christ. And then we get to Peter. And Peter is giving a bold witness to the unconverted religious authorities in the book of Acts primarily. In the context of Acts chapter 4, if you want to write that down. Peter's bold witness before the religious authorities. You know, this is after the resurrection of Christ. Christ is gone, but he sent his spirit. And Peter, a normal guy, a fisherman, and uneducated, unschooled, and everyone knew that about him. And what's he doing? He's giving a bold gospel witness, standing up before multitudes, before people who hated him. And he's giving a bold gospel witness. And then we get to Paul, of course, all throughout the book of Acts. And Paul's giving a bold witness before the civil officials in Acts 23 and Acts 26, similar to Peter. You know, he's standing before kings, before governors, before these religious, before these civil officials, and he's giving a bold witness to them. He's not ashamed of the gospel. He's preaching in Athens alone, Acts chapter 17. He was usually traveling as a missionary on a missionary team, but when he gets to Athens in Acts chapter 17, he's alone. He's not with any of the other guys. And he goes in Athens, going to the marketplace, and then preaching before a crowd, giving a bold gospel witness. Okay, so we're still on the first point. I'm just giving some examples so that when I get to some of these scriptural texts, you realize there have been many who've gone before us, examples in the scriptures of bold gospel witness. So that's Paul in Athens, and then Paul addressing the mob in Acts chapter 21. You know, some of the other Christians with them, they said, listen, don't do that. You're crazy. And Paul says, no, I need to talk to this crowd, to this mob who wants to kill him. And he stands up before them and gives a bold gospel witness. Paul mentions in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, we had boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in the midst of much opposition. And that's going to be you as a Christian. If your heart is, I want to love Christ, I want to serve Christ, I want to tell others of Christ, this is what you're going to say. Paul, writing this in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, we had boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in the midst of much opposition. And that's how it is for all Christians around the world. Having a desire to boldly tell the gospel, and it's always going to be in the midst of some type of opposition. Because the world does not want to receive the witness of the gospel. And think of all these examples I just mentioned. Noah, nobody listened to him. You know, there was plenty of room on the ark for many people to join, Noah and his family. And we know that nobody joined. It was just the 8 people in his family. Moses, nobody listened. And Elijah, and the opposition that he had. All of these examples I've given, you see them in the midst of opposition. So we're not giving gospel witness in the midst of an easy life. Usually that's not the case. And so as I said earlier, I want to challenge you as Christians to think that it's your responsibility to be bold gospel witnesses, but realize it's going to be in the midst of much opposition. And then I'll give one last example, and it's the example of our Lord himself, Jesus Christ. He gave bold witness to speak against the religious leaders. I'm not going to go through these. Matthew 23, that's a whole chapter devoted to Jesus denouncing the religious authorities and the religious leaders. Luke 20, verse 19, and John chapter 2 as well. Jesus giving bold witness against religious leaders and bold witness to crowds that followed him. Not being afraid to speak the truth. And so he's our final example. So that's the first point, giving you examples so you could see Christians in 2016 and in our generation, God still calls us to be bold gospel witnesses. And we've had a lot of good examples go before us and examples that we can follow and that we should desire to imitate. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So now, number two. Let me give some scriptural texts, and we can turn to a few passages here. Scriptural texts challenging us, challenging you to be a bold gospel witness. Start with Proverbs 28. You don't have to turn all of these. You could listen if you'd like. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, it's not specifically referring to Christians telling the gospel, but one of the themes, one of the main points we see in the Bible, starting with Noah, going throughout the whole New Testament as well, is the people of God being known for their boldness. And that's what it's certainly referring to in Proverbs 28, that God's people, the righteous, are known by the world to be bold people, to be willing to stand up in the midst, say, of much opposition. Christians willing to devote their lives to Christ, to follow him no matter what the cost. And so we see this here in Proverbs 28. Another verse, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Well-known verse says, always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account or a reason of the hope that is in you. So this is a scriptural text challenging us to be bold gospel witnesses, right? Always be ready. That's what the Holy Spirit tells you. If you're a believer in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, professing Him, you should always be ready to make a defense. If someone comes up to you at the workplace, a family member, your neighbor, whoever it is, if someone comes up to you and asks you, you know, give a reason for the hope that's in you. And tell me about this gospel you believe in. Why do you go to church? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you pray? Whatever question they ask, always be ready to give them a reason. And that's certainly challenging us to be bold gospel witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Okay? This is Jesus talking to his disciples prior to his ascension. And what does he tell them? Before he goes, he says, listen, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus even said, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's to your benefit, because Jesus is saying, when I go back to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when He comes upon you, you're going to have power. And power to do what? What does it say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Power to be witnesses. Now, the Holy Spirit certainly gives us power and teaches us and sanctifies us in many areas of life. But one of the main ways, the specific ways that the Holy Spirit works in Christians, in you as believers, is to give a witness of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit gives you power, gives you the words, gives you the wisdom to be bold gospel witnesses. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12. Having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. So if you're a Christian, you have to realize, I do have a hope. You have a hope of eternal life, if you're a believer in the gospel. You have a hope that your sins are completely forgiven. You have a hope that your Savior, Jesus, is going to one day come back. We have so many hopes. We have assurance. We have confidence in all of these things because of the gospel. And what does Paul say here in 2 Corinthians 3:12? Having such a hope, this kind of hope in the gospel, this hope in Jesus Christ, because of that, we use great boldness in our speech. Now, Paul's referring to himself and to the other men with him, preaching the gospel. But I want to apply it to you as well this evening. If you're a Christian, because of the hope that you have, you should use great boldness in your speech as you speak to other people around you. Now, there's a difference between boldness and arrogance. We all know that. Christians aren't called to be arrogant in their witness. Christians are called, though, to be bold in their witness and not to be ashamed of the gospel. And to be able to speak to unbelievers the gospel clearly, to speak the gospel directly, and to speak the gospel in a challenging way to those around us who aren't believers in the gospel. And it's because of the hope that we have. Ephesians 6:19. Paul says, pray for me that the words may be given me when I open my mouth. And he's referring to when he opens his mouth to preach, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So Paul, as a missionary, you know, if you want to use that term, one of the things he asked for prayer about is boldness to preach the gospel. And I want to apply that to you this evening, the Christians here in Tottenville. If you're a believer in the gospel, that's what you should pray for as well. Just like we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Holy Spirit, give me power, give me boldness when I open my mouth to make known the gospel, to say what needs to be said, to say it clearly, to say it in a loving way, to say what specifically needs to be said to that individual, because every individual is different. And so that should be our prayer, as it was Paul's writing in Ephesians 6. Another verse, and it's still under our second main point here, scriptural texts challenging us to bold gospel witness. You could turn to Acts 4, verse 31. And this is referring to the Christians in the early church, okay, the group of believers, the corporate church, when they prayed. Okay, and think of your church here. When the church in Tottenville prays, Notice what it says here about these early Christians. When they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Again, notice the connection between the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to do what? This is a theme in the book of Acts. Being filled with the Spirit to be witnesses for the gospel. That's one of the primary reasons the Holy Spirit lives in you as a believer. There's other reasons as well. But that is certainly a primary reason why the Holy Spirit is living in you. I was talking to Charlie earlier this evening that we are not to quench the Holy Spirit, right? We read that in the New Testament. So when the Holy Spirit's prompting you by His power, His presence in your life as a believer, He's prompting you to be a bold gospel witness, then do not quench the leading of the Spirit. You know, maybe it's the person who's pumping your gas, or the person who's your waitress at the diner, or the person at the cash register at the supermarket, or whoever. People that you know constantly, see every day. The work of the Spirit, one of his works in your life is to lead you to be bold gospel witnesses. And don't quench that. When you're prompted by the Spirit to do that, then be bold gospel witnesses for the sake of Christ. And that's what it says here in Acts 4:31 about the Christians. They prayed. There's a prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they went out to be bold witnesses for the gospel. Two more texts I want to read. 2 Timothy 1:7. Okay, this is in the context of Paul writing to Timothy. And it seems in the context of Timothy's life, he was a young guy that had joined Paul, and it seems that there was some timidity, some fear in Timothy's life and his ministry. And this is what Paul's addressing here in 2 Timothy 1:7 is my wife's favorite verse. And Paul writes to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of timidity. That's what the Holy Spirit's telling you this evening as a church. God hasn't given you the spirit of timidity or of fear, but what? But of power. Mentioned some other things as well, but I want to focus on power. He hasn't given you, as a Christian, the lifestyle, the attitude, the spirit of timidity or fear, but of power. Power in the Spirit to be bold witnesses for the gospel. And that's what Paul was challenging Timothy to do. Listen, Timothy, you may have some timidity in you. You may be afraid in some way as a Christian, but God has called you as a man to the ministry to preach the gospel. And God has called you as Christians to be bold witnesses for the gospel. So yeah, maybe some of you, some of us, tend to be timid, tend to be fearful at times. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be bold gospel witnesses. Because Timothy was like that. And Paul didn't say, okay, well, you get the pass. He says, I understand that, Timothy, but overcome that timidity. Overcome that fear and still be a bold gospel witness. And so I want to challenge you Christians here in this Tottenville church to consider that and to be challenged by that. And one final verse, Romans 1:16. Again, a well-known verse. Paul says, not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And again, the context, Paul starts his letter to the Roman church saying this. And one of the main purposes of the letter to the Roman Christians was to explain the gospel, to describe the gospel to the Christians. And Paul, as a missionary, as an evangelist, as a preacher, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm going out to the world to preach the gospel. And every Christian, to some degree, may not be to the degree of Paul, but to some degree, every Christian should say the same thing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is God's power to save me and to save my unsaved coworker, my unsaved family member, my unsaved neighbor, whoever it is. And so again, I want to challenge you this evening to consider that. If you're a believer, to be convinced in your own mind and have the Holy Spirit convince you with His power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know what the gospel is. It has power to save me because it did, and it has power to save unbelievers. And because of that, I'm going to be a bold gospel witness. So that's our second point. First, I gave you a bunch of examples, okay? And I want to encourage you, because of those examples, to imitate them, to be like them. Secondly, we saw all these scriptural texts challenging you and us together to be bold gospel witnesses. Now, third, I want to finish by giving reasons why we are to be bold gospel witnesses. Why should we be? Why am I challenging you this evening as Christians to be bold gospel witnesses? And as I said, as I started, we're going to New Guinea. And it's unlikely some of you in this room would go to New Guinea. We're praying others would join us. Maybe one of you would, but it's unlikely, right? Most of you probably will not go to New Guinea. That's fine. But God has called you to Tottenville and to the community where you live. He's providentially placed you in your workplace. And the main reason this evening I'm preaching this is to challenge you as believers in the gospel to be bold gospel witnesses where God has put you. And as a church here in this community, I know you evangelize and I commend you for that. Continue to evangelize. Continue to be bold gospel witnesses. May the community here, the houses on this street, and the main street up here, may they know that this is a church that is not ashamed of the gospel. And a church known to be bold gospel witnesses for Christ. The early church is known for that. You know, it says in the book of Acts, after Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit and they died. And it says of the community, of the public, they were afraid. They didn't even want to join the church because they understood what was going on. They understood the Christians. And they saw them in the community. They probably heard them telling the gospel and being bold gospel witnesses. And may you be a church that's known to be like that as well. So thirdly, reasons why. First, as I considered the examples that we see in the scriptures, starting with Noah, considering the scriptural texts, these are reasons that that I wrote down of why we should be bold gospel witnesses. So first, in order to obey and bring honor to Jesus our Lord. Jesus calls us to be witnesses for Him. And if you're a Christian, that's one of the things Jesus calls you to do. That's one of the areas He calls you to follow, to speak of Him and not to be ashamed of Him. And when we do that, we obey Him. And we bring honor to Him. So that's one of the main reasons. Why am I challenging you to be bold gospel witnesses? To obey Jesus and to bring honor to Him. When you speak of Jesus to your coworkers, to your family members, to your neighbors, whoever it is, Jesus is honored. That makes Him happy. He's pleased with that. Second reason, because Jesus is worth speaking of. You know, if there's anything worth speaking of, Jesus and His gospel are worth speaking about, right? You know, we talk about the weather, and that's fine. That's appropriate. You know, the snowstorm's coming. We talk about football. You know, that's fine. We talk about finances and education. Those things are good. That's fine. We live in this world, and we should enjoy the things God gives us. But if there's one thing worth speaking of, it's the gospel, right? It's the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And that should definitely be a reason for us to be bold gospel witnesses, because He is worth speaking of. And so I hope that that's what you're thinking in your own mind. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, yes, Jesus is worth speaking of. I want to. It's exciting to. And of all the things I could speak of, Jesus is definitely worth speaking about. Thirdly, reasons why to be bold gospel witnesses in order to be an example to other Christians who may not be. Okay, maybe it's others in this church, maybe it's others in other churches, other Christians you know at work, wherever. Christians who are not being bold gospel witnesses, I want to challenge you who hear my voice this evening to be bold gospel witnesses to Christians who may not be. So when they see you, they may be challenged. Wow, you know, I'm not witnessing. I'm not telling the gospel. I'm not handing out tracts. I'm not doing whatever to evangelize. But I see this Christian. And they're referring to you. And that challenges them. That encourages them as they see your example. And isn't that what Paul said? You know, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jesus did the same thing to His disciples, not in the area or the context of evangelism, but in service. Now, as He was washing His disciples' feet, I'm giving you an example. And so be an example to other Christians in how you are bold gospel witnesses so that they would grow and learn from you. Fourthly, why? Because the gospel is what God has ordained as the means to save sinners. Now, a lot of people in America probably don't believe that. A lot of professing Christians don't believe that. But it's very clear in the scriptures that God has ordained the gospel, the message of the cross. You know, Paul was not ashamed to say that many times. God has ordained it as the means to save sinners. So God's not going to save sinners apart from the gospel being told. People are saved when the gospel is told. They're not saved any other way. And so if your family member, your spouse, your child, your friend, your coworker, your neighbor, the guy at the gas station, whoever it is, if they're going to be saved from their sins, they're going to have eternal life through Jesus Christ, it's going to be when they hear the gospel told to them and then respond in faith. And you may be the mouth that speaks the gospel to them. I mean, we all know of unbelievers. Everywhere we work with them, we live with them, we speak to them all the time. But God has ordained the gospel as the means to save them. So we do it for the sake of lost, perishing souls. I mean, that's a good reason, right? You know, if there's one thing your child needs, your spouse needs, your friend needs that's not a believer, it's to be saved from their sin, to be saved from an eternal hell, to be saved from the wrath of God. And they're saved because of the work that Jesus has accomplished on the cross. I mean, the biggest dilemma that we have in this world is the punishment of sin. And the gospel offers a way of escape that Jesus was punished for us. And there are souls in this world that you know of that are lost and perishing apart from that gospel. So be a bold gospel witness so that they can be saved through the gospel. It's the only power that can save a sinner. I've been recently witnessing to a coworker of mine. When I'm around during the week, I work for my uncle. And there's been a guy that I've been telling the gospel to a number of times now. And one of the things I was witnessing to him yesterday, one of the things that popped in my head was, you know, I can't convince this guy. You know, I could tell him on a human level all the right things and tell him a lot of scriptural verses and tell him clearly what the gospel is. And I believe I've done that, but I can't convince him. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel message to save a sinner. It's not me saving a sinner. God saves sinners. And He's going to save your spouse or your neighbor or your friend by working in them sovereignly by His power when the gospel is told to them. And so I want you to have a confidence. God wants you to have a confidence in the power of the gospel. So may that be another reason to be a bold gospel witness. And one final reason here. Because we know what's at stake. Some of these things may be a little overlapping here. But because we know what's at stake. And what is at stake? The defeat of Satan. The end of the world. The eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, the flames of hell, the advancement of Jesus' army. We are not to live our Christian lives coasting as if everything is dandy. That is not the life that God has called you to as a Christian. Well, I'll just coast through life and, you know, I'll make it to the end at a nice ripe old age and I'll die in my sleep and go to heaven. And that's not the life God has called us to as Christians. It has been granted to us, as Paul says, not only to believe, but even to suffer. Now, every Christian will suffer. That's a guarantee. Obviously, to varying degrees, some more than others. But part of that suffering comes when we are bold gospel witnesses, and we know what's at stake as believers. So I want to challenge you, don't coast through life as if everything is just fine and dandy. But realize what is at stake. The things that we do not see that will be forever. You know, John Piper has said many times we should have a wartime mentality. And he's right. Because beyond what we see. You know, we see streets, we see schools, we see money, we see economy and politics. These are things we see. This is the life we live, right? But there's things that go way beyond that, things we can't see. You know, Paul said we fight not against flesh and blood, but there's a spiritual warfare that we're involved in. And we should have a wartime mentality because we know, as Christians, what is at stake. So think about that often. Realize what's at stake. You know, the very eternal soul of your spouse or your neighbor. The deception of Satan upon them. The fact that they'll go to eternal hell without the gospel. These are big things. This is what's at stake. And may that be a reason why you should be a bold gospel witness. So let me just give a few concluding applications, and then I'll finish up here. Concluding application. First of all, pray that God would make you a bold witness for the gospel. Yeah, maybe you are, and I hope this sermon this evening encourages you and challenges you to do more. Whatever it is. Maybe you rarely witness at all. And you profess faith in Christ, and you rarely tell some of the gospel. You almost never hand out a tract. Well, I hope that this evening you're challenged by the Holy Spirit, that step one, to pray that the Holy Spirit would make you a bold witness for the gospel. Pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. What did we read in Acts? And I didn't read all the references about that, but one of the themes connected with the Holy Spirit is witness. So if the Holy Spirit is in your life, if the Holy Spirit is leading you, and if you're walking by the Spirit, as Paul writes, then one of the things he's going to lead you to do is to be a witness for the gospel. So pray that you'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray for boldness to tell the gospel. Pray that you would not be ashamed of the gospel. Because to some level, we all are, right? You know, I've done a lot of evangelism, but there's always, even in me, and I'm sure you would say the same thing, there's always some level of timidity, some level of fear. And that'll probably never go away. But remember what Paul told Timothy. He didn't say, Timothy, okay, then, you know, you have a pass. But he says, overcome that and have boldness, have power in the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing. Pray about those things. Secondly, make being a bold gospel witness a major priority in your life. We have to live on purpose. As Christians, we have to be deliberate. You know, you don't just stumble into church. You know, you made a choice to be here, right? You make a choice to read the Bible. You make a choice to pray. The Christian life is deliberate. A Christian says in their own mind, I'm going to do this because of what's at stake, because the Holy Spirit has changed me. I'm a new creation, like Paul says. Of course I'm going to follow Christ, but we make it deliberate. It doesn't just come naturally, necessarily. We do it on purpose. And that's why I just mentioned earlier, don't coast through life. If we coast through life, it'll end in a train wreck. That's what's going to happen. So be deliberate and make being a bold gospel witness a priority in your life. You know, maybe it's writing. Maybe one of the ways you could do that is having a prayer list of unbelievers that the church knows, unbelievers that you know at work, or in your neighborhood, and have a list and you pray for them. Maybe that's your way. Maybe one of the ways you can make it a priority is getting tracts and handing them out. That's one of the things I do all the time. Maybe you could get a little tracts like that. When you go to the diner, drop a tract down. When you get gas, give it to the gas attendant. Maybe that's the way you could do it. Now, I'm not saying how you have to do necessarily, but I'm trying to give you ideas of how to be bold gospel witnesses. Maybe it's going and knocking on doors and start with your neighbor. You know, maybe it's handing out tracts on the sidewalk. Maybe it's open-air preaching. I've done that a lot, and I believe you have as well, some of you. So whatever it is, make it a priority, because you won't be a bold gospel witness unless you do it on purpose. Don't be sidetracked by the American dream or by any other deceptive devices of Satan. You know, Satan's going to do whatever he can to get your mind off of being a bold gospel witness. And he's going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to trick you as a Christian. And he's going to say, you know what? Handing out that tract, that's really not a big deal. You know, knocking on your neighbor's door to tell him the gospel, that's really not, they're not going to listen to you anyway. And Satan's going to lie to you, and he's going to deceive you, and he's going to try to sidetrack you to live for the American dream, or to live for yourself, or to live for a bigger house, or whatever it is. You know, I'm just throwing some stuff out, but he's going to try to deceive you and get you sidetracked from telling the gospel and being a bold gospel witness. Thirdly, under concluding application, encourage one another to be bold gospel witnesses. That's a theme we see in the New Testament. Encourage one another. And this is one area you can. You know, encourage one another to go to church. Encourage one another to pray. Encourage one another to be bold gospel witnesses. How do you do that? Well, when you gather together on the Lord's Day, you ask each other, you know, have you had opportunity this week to share the gospel with someone? You know, I've been praying for your daughter, for your neighbor. They're not a believer. And I've been praying that God would save them. And you talk to each other about it. You know, instead of talking about sports and who's the next president's going to be, you know, on the Lord's Day, when you gather together, make it a priority at least to talk about evangelism, about being bold gospel witnesses. And I'm not saying that's the only thing to talk about in the Christian life. Of course not. But that should be a priority. And encourage one another about these things. You know, ask each other, how can I help you to evangelize? How can I help you reach your family member who's not a Christian? How can you help me? And talk about these things. So encourage one another. And finally, remember the gospel in the midst of your bold witness. And may the gospel be what drives you to be a bold gospel witness. You know, you may have thought about this evening, you know, especially when I mentioned going door to door. You know, who do you think of first? Usually the Jehovah's Witnesses, right? You know, people going door to door. And on some level, they put us to shame, right? I mean, they're out there, they're trying to win converts. And they're being faithful. And they're doing it for a cause that's going to lead people to hell. We have a cause that's going to lead people to heaven and to eternal life. So in the midst of this, don't do it as a good work that's going to earn you favor with God and get you to heaven. That's what other religious people do. You know, if I just do this, if I go to church, if I evangelize, if I do, you know, I'm going to get to heaven. That is not the reason. That should never be what drives you to evangelize and to be a bold gospel witness. The gospel itself should be what drives you, what motivates you, what empowers you to go and tell your neighbor, listen, I was a sinner. I am a sinner just like you. And Jesus saved me. And he could save you. Remember the gospel. So I hope this practical sermon this evening encourages you, but also challenges you to take another step in evangelism, to take another step in being a bold gospel witness. Maybe starting with your family, maybe starting in this very neighborhood, maybe continuing something you've started and advancing from there. I hope it encourages you and challenges you to do that. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill you individually as Christians and also corporately as a church to be bold gospel witnesses.